Turn, 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 we're turning again. Turn, 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 we're turning again. They took a whole bunch of acid so they could see where it's at.
It's over there, over there, over there, over there, and under here also.
Doom, doo, doo, doom, doo, doom. They lived on a whole bunch of nothing. They thought they looked very good. They'd never ever worry. They were always in a hurry to convince themselves that what they were was really very groovy. Yes, they believed in all the papers and the magazines that defined their folklore. They could never laugh at who or what they thought they were, or even what they thought they sort of ought to be. They were totally empty.
Totally empty.
And their lives were really useless. So what the fuck? They didn't have no sense of humor. Now they got nothing left to laugh about, including themselves.
Turn, 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 we're turning again. Turn, 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 we're turning again.
The year 1967. Drug-crazed youth discovered vagrancy as a way of life.
Ooh, they were mellow, they were yellow, they were wearing smelly blankets.
They looked like Donovan fans. They walking around with stupid flowers in their hair, and everywhere they tried to stuff them up the guns.
Of all the cops and other servants of the law, who tried to push them around and later mow them down, but they were full of all that shit that they believed in. So what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Now I seen them tightening up their headbands on the weekend, and they get loaded when they came to town. They walk around in Greenwich Village to buy posters they could hang up in them smelly little secret blacklight bedrooms on Long Island, singing Jimmy Come Back. Now come back and regulate the boys' first tone. Your haze was so purple, it caused your axes to be bold as love. Now Jimmy, give me some feedback.
Come back and feedback on my knapsack. You can feedback the fuss come from your wah-wah while you've been down and set your stuff on fire.
Turn, 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 we're turning again. Turn, 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 we're turning again.
We can turn it around, we can do it again. We can go back in time
through the canyons of your mind on the eve of destruction.
We can act like we are something really special.
Oh, we'll just jump in the bathtub with that other guy, Jim, and
make him be more careful.
We can visit Big Mama and whap her on the back when she eats her sandwich.
La, 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 la.
We can take her a chance when she gets so depressed she can't take it no more. We can laugh at Keith Moon's jokes. Amda Color TV, he threw out Der Windham from the second floor.
Everybody come back.
No one can do it like you used to. If you listen to the radio and what they play today, you can tell right away
all those assholes really need you.
Turn, 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 we're turning again. Turn, 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 we're turning again. Turn, 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 we're turning again. Turn, 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 we're turning again.
Yeah. Howdy, folks. This is Scott Parker, and you're listening to episode 37 of the ZappaCast for March of 2018. And we've got, once again on the telephone, a person who all of you know, and all of you will know from the episode we did two shows back. And he's the head of Zappa Records, the head of the Zappa Family Trust, Mr. Amit Zappa. Welcome back to the show, Amit.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Mr. Parker.
There was so much interest in the last show that you were on that we've had a number of requests to hurry up and get you back on the show to answer these questions. So, you don't mind.
I mean, I'm pretty sure people, I think I made myself pretty clear that I'm a complete dumbass. So again, I will try to once again answer questions to the best of my knowledge, most likely not to the satisfaction of any of the listeners.
I think
let's try. All we can do is try.
They were pretty happy last time. I don't know. You acquitted yourself well. So before we jump in here, I wanted to ask you, how are you doing with the hologram tour? Because I know that that's sort of been formally announced now. Do you have a time frame that you're looking at, or are you still, that's still yet to be worked out, all that good stuff?
We'll be visiting lots and lots and lots of cities in 2019.
Oh, I know I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there.
Well, I can tell you, you know, some of the things that are just exciting for me is I personally had some just creative breakthroughs on even having an even greater understanding of what's possible and what we can do visually. So, you know, I don't want to say what it is. I want those things to be surprises for people. But I have to say I'm personally feeling good about the content, certainly the song choices, and what will be happening, you know, on stage. Some of the things I'm trying to work out is that yet to kind of manifest itself, if it looks right, is some of the more sort of magical moments where, you know, the staging, it's because it's like a magic trick, right?
Sure.
The staging of how the band can interact in certain moments with the content and all of that. Those are some of the unknowns right now, at least in terms of what I'm thinking in my head, just to see if it can be consistent every night. And I know that sounds kind of vague and general, but I mean, I've had some laugh out loud moments with the, I'm like, there's an element that I think of, you know, with Frank, I was even having a nice conversation with Steve I about this, where I'm like, Frank liked things kind of cheesy, and he was like, yeah, the cheesier the better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some of the things that are going to happen, I hope people get the joke and get the absurdity of what's happening. I'm very hopeful that we're going to have some good laughs in the audience, too. I'm happy with how everything's progressing, that's for sure.
I think I think you definitely will get that. Am I correct? Just to clarify for the audience out there, this is more like, it's less of a Zappa concert and more like a Zappa experience in a kind of big way, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it that way exactly. Mm. I mean, it's definitely a concert. I think just visually what you'll see is, I think someone could interpret this as it's like watching a holographic movie performance. Multiple aesthetics where you have, you know, some of Frank's most beloved, you know, band members, these amazing musicians, mm-hmm. playing the music that they love, you know, with elements of certainly Frank's performances. It's like one part a movie in the sense that the same sort of principles that go into making the media, into telling a narrative, you know, and how many different, like the journey that we're going to go on. It's more like a movie visually, because that's what we're dealing with in the holographic creation and the way that it's presented to the audience. But sure. But yeah, it is a, in your description, that felt a little too simplistic, and mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm, you know, being any more clear. But you know, the experience here for the audience, I think, is a journey through. You'll hear a lot of the music. Obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all Frank's music, so you'll hear. You know, I like the 70s like vibe of those, you know, performances. Like, that's kind of where my head's at, where I kind of like that vibe of the show. So there's, from a visual standpoint, it will kind of feel, you know, we're pulling from that era, and stylistically, that's certainly, you know, the most photoreal version of Frank is of that era.
Sure.
So, you know, it's not at all like a Tupac hologram. It's not at all like a Dio hologram. Mm-hmm. It's not at all like the Maria Callas or any of these other, you know, shows, because, you know, those expressions are very photorealistic performances with not a lot of other aspects of really what I'm focusing on happening in the show. I mean, there's so many more things that I'm interested in terms of, you know, bringing to life the characters of Frank's music. I'm trying to anthropomorphize some of his songs.
Sure.
And, you know, I think I used this example previously. If he's performing Stinkfoot, I think the fun is having an 800-pound snakeskin platform boot on the stage singing the song. Right? I use that as an example because, you know, that to me is the bizarre world of Frank Zappa. There are things that people know. They know the lyrical content, and for bringing these things, moments to life. You know, think of the movie that Frank made with Bruce Bickford, uh-huh. where, you know, Gregory Peccary, you know, creating those visuals to the music, you know, Billy the Mountain, seeing those ideas of Frank's, again, you know, creating these images in support of what Frank is talking about. Think Fish as an example.
Sure.
You know, that's more along the lines of the spirit of the show is, you know, bringing a new kind of element to the music from a visual standpoint, you know, and
yeah.
multiple aesthetics of Frank appearing on stage. But I just like the idea with what our capabilities are in terms of projection and size and scope. I think it's just kind of more interesting having, you know, playing, fucking around with, you know, how tall Frank can be.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like I'm probably repeating myself, but, you know, ask me, and I try to explain, you know, Frank was, what, 6'1", 6'2", and, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's cool that he can be 8 feet tall, you know, or
yes.
again, a giant floating, you know, head, if that's what we decided to do. That's just what's, you know, what we're capable of doing. So, you know, I've been talking with so many people, artists that Frank's worked with, you know, people that are huge fans of Frank's that are visualists, mm-hmm. you know, it's actually been one of the more certainly challenging and exciting experiences in my life, and I'm right in the middle of it. Like, it's all very exciting. I mean, I live for this shit, all the visuals and, you know, again, how we're telling the story. So for mm-hmm. me, I definitely want people to love the show, but I'm really hopeful that people actually like, you know, what I'm bringing to the table, because I'm essentially directing this performance,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I have to make all these assets. So hopefully people will dig my, you know, imagination or how I interpret things as it pertains to what the show can be. If people liked my approach on the Halloween box set,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Roxy, and, you know, pulling these those projects together, I'm bringing the same love and detail and attention to detail and as much as creativity as I can muster to the hologram experience, for sure.
Mm-hmm. need some sleep. I stretched myself out on an antique bed, and my spirit did a midnight creep. And no, I'll never sleep no more. It seemed to me that it just ain't wise
that you ever wake up in the morning
with the zombie wolf behind your eyes, just about as evil as you could be.
Well, I think that from the way you describe and the way you have described it, it sounds like innovation well beyond what we've seen in terms of holograms and what they're capable of, you know, in performance.
You know, Frank would have tried to push the boundaries.
Sure.
Certainly, creatively, with what he could do on a budget, too, mm-hmm. you know? So it's even hard enough to explain to people who have, like, pushback, right, mm-hmm. or, you know, can't imagine. It's easy for me to imagine what I want to do. It's easy for me to make the assets or to get to a place to where what's in my head, you know, if from a costing perspective I can do it, then it's totally going to happen. So,
yeah,
people just have to wait and see. I think people will dig it. I hope they do.
Oh, I think they definitely will. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that I've talked to, and there's a lot of very positive interest out there. So, you know, we're just
yeah,
happy.
There's tons of negative comments, too. And, I think I will be really, really happy if I can change those, you know, Frank's fans' mind that don't agree with what I'm doing. I think at the end of the day that they'll be really happy that it happened. You know?
Yeah, I mean, though, you can't argue with the band either. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's a killer band that you're putting together. So,
you know, I don't know if you are familiar with A Zappa Affair. You know, when
sure.
I was a kid,
yeah.
this performance happened, and it dawned on me, like, that's also what's inspiring me.
You sure, know, with the puppets
I,
and everything.
I really, yeah.
yeah.
So that left a huge impression on my brain. I mean, many things happened on that trip. I wound up going to IHOP with my mother and my little sister, and the waitress poured the entire pot of, like, scalding hot coffee all over Diva.
Oh, God.
It was the screams in the IHOP. It was terrible, terrible. She was burned all over the place. And,
oh, my God.
And, you know, that just added a whole other layer of stress to to the family before seeing those performances. But those puppets, you know, I want to try to actually recreate, you know, that night. It's something I've been talking about internally. You know, I haven't reached out yet to Kent Nagano, who's the
conductor.
You know, the conductor that evening. But I think. You know, like, how cool was it that Frank was, this is like before like the Lion King, right?
Yeah,
so he's
sure.
like making these puppets and these dancers, and I think people thought that was, you know, that he was out of his mind that you know, around that performance, and I loved it. And I think that that's kind of where my mind goes, even from a hologram perspective. I just like the visual aesthetic that Frank always brought to his albums and, you know, and to his performances, even again his own illustration. So I really try to let that be my guide as much as possible, and hopefully it'll smell right and look right, and again I think people will dig it. Zappa Affair, you know, we found these clips, so not to spoiler alert, but you know, for the Kickstarter fans, looking at some of the little nuggets that kind of go out there,
mm-hmm.
there's this really awesome interview that I just recently saw, or photo shoot, I should say, where, I mean, to see these puppets again, because they were just trapped in my mind.
Yeah.
But to see this, for the Kickstarter fans, you know, again, spoiler alert, that you'll know what I'm talking about in the near future. Yeah, this clip, I was like, get out of here, because I was pulling visuals and things that I would want to see holographically projected, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm again seeing these images right now, and I haven't seen them since I was a kid. It's like weird how I'm drawn to similar, you know, aesthetics.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's a lot of word vomit. There you go. So yeah, I'm just going off and on a tangent. Again, I apologize, everyone. I'm just blathering.
Oh, that's okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get to as many of these questions, folks, as I possibly can. Our time's limited, so...
Yeah, well, I'm just going to keep... I'll do yes or no answers from
okay.
now. Okay.
Okay,
let's do it.
Some of these are easier than others. Okay.
I'm also very tired, guys. I'm very tired. I don't know why I'm making excuses. I probably always sound as, you know, idiotic as I do right now. But I promise you, I got no sleep last night.
Oh, he's been going all day, too, so.
Yeah, I was actually hanging out with Dweezil last night.
Really?
So, yeah. We spent,
oh, breaking,
you know,
news.
A few hours, you know, together, and it was lovely to hang out with him, so.
Wow. You know,
that's why I'm tired. But
my mind is blown here. Because first Moon and Diva hung out, and now the brothers are hanging out, and it was cool.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I mean your brother,
he's a cool dude.
Yeah,
so yeah, it was cool. I mean, on many levels, you know, there's so much misinformation and sadness and all this fucking shit. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we're still a family and we're still brothers, and you know, people can argue, and there definitely can be misunderstandings, and you know, it's just, you know, getting us all together has been real challenging. But I you know, it was great to see him last night.
That's amazing. This is huge news. That actually will kill some of these questions right there. So
oh, great! I just saved a bunch of time.
You did.
I didn't
you
even
did.
Know it. Cool.
Well, let me jump into it then. This is from a gentleman by the name of Zepeps, and he lives in Portugal, in Europe, and he has two questions for Mr. Ahmed Zappa.
Hello, Mr. Scott Parker, and of course, Mr. Ahmed Zappa. My name is Zepeps, and I'm in Portugal, Europe. I'm a huge Zappa fan and a huge fan of these podcasts. And my question, actually, I have two questions for Ahmed, if I may. And the first one is, where do you think Frank would be now with all this technology available? I mean, the last years he was working almost alone, but I think it was because of his disease. But I don't know, maybe now he will be working all alone because better technology, and you may work alone and get lots of stuff done without almost any musician around. And the other question is, what do you think your father would say to Mr. Trump? Thank you, and keep up the good work, Scott.
Do you know that we're part Portuguese?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so
well,
hello.
On whose side?
On my mom's side.
Oh, so I'm sorry, I cut you off before you were saying hello to Zepeps.
Hello to my Portuguese relatives.
Gail was Portuguese?
Yeah, so my we call her Tutu, but Laura Freitas, you know, she married my grandfather, Mr. Slootman, second, I believe. I should know that. And, yeah, she's Hawaiian and Portuguese. I guess the Portuguese came over, you know, to the island.
Wow. So,
yep. We got lots of Portuguese blood running through our, you know, we're mutts, essentially. Our entire family is Danish, Portuguese,
obviously Sicilian.
Know, Sicilian, and Greek.
Yeah, and Frank was Greek and Sicilian, correct?
Yeah. You know, I want to do one of those, you know, blood tests.
Yeah, the
right?
DNA thing?
Yeah, but then I'm also too paranoid. I feel like it's a secret government, you know, situation that's like, I swear, I'm like, can you do this under an alias? You know?
Yeah, like, actually,
yeah,
you probably could.
that's what I want to do. And like, hey, you have relatives. You know, maybe that's also a way to call bullshit. If I can get anyone else in my family to take the test under an alias, let's see if it actually, you know, connects the Johnsons together. You have someone in your area, Mr. Johnson. You know that you're related to.
Yeah, guess who you're related to.
Yeah.
So Zepeps asked, where would Frank be now with all this new technology available?
I think, yeah. You know, he was working, he was always kind of working alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Composing, writing. I'm asking you, right, Scott?
Yeah, that is correct,
right?
Huh?
Yeah.
That is
thank
correct,
you.
Huh?
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. Yeah. So wait, what's the entire question? I mean...
Oh, in his last years, he was mostly working alone, maybe because he was ill, but do you think he would still be working alone without musicians? Is that what you saw him enjoying the most? Also, what do you think your father would say about Mr. Trump? And that question, that last question was also asked from by Jeff Mart of Fairbanks, Alaska as well.
Okay, so I think that he always would have these personal relationships with fellow musicians. I mean, even when he was working in the studio, you know, or composing music, as an example, he'd have, I was just having this conversation with Mr. Martin. I was like, tell me some stories about, you know, coming up to the house, like when you weren't on tour. I'm like, because I didn't know. I'm like, did you guys, like, hang out? And, you know, what would you guys talk about? And so we were, you know, shooting the breeze, and, you know, he was talking about how he'd go up there and Frank's process even on making the sound library. So I guess my way of answering this question is I think the level of musicians and his love of musicians and just sound in general, I think he would have constantly been trying to pioneer or get the sounds that he wanted, you know, on tape so that he could then manipulate them. I think he enjoyed that process, but also I think that there's so many sound libraries now, and so much more that you can do from a technological perspective. And Frank was always someone who was interested in the latest and greatest. So I wouldn't have thought that would have changed if he was still around. You know, I actually think we'd have way more music. I think it would have made it easier for him to do what he wanted to do, easier for him to get the ideas out to, you know, his audience because of how awesome technology is now. And then Trump. Is that the last part of the question?
That was the last part.
I think we would have had a whole new Porn Wars-like record with his sound bites. I think he would have been out there, you know, doing interviews. The elder statesman that, you know, he would have been working overtime with this, you know, presidency.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have loved going on John Oliver, you know.
yeah, me too.
And I think he would have been a favored guest on Bill Maher's show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Frank would not have been resting on his laurels, that's for sure. He would have had many, many, many things to say.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for him, but I can imagine personally the amount of feelings.
Yeah.
He would have many feelings about this presidency. I am sure of it.
Well, if you think about it, you know, he took a band out in 1988 largely to perform these songs that he had written about the late Reagan administration and the Republican Party at that time. If he thought that was a worthwhile venture to do, you know, then you could just imagine what would happen now. But,
well, look, this is me personally thinking along these lines, and
sure.
I certainly would be asking these questions of my father. So, again, not wanting to, you know, speak on his behalf, certainly can't. It's not possible. But to me, I think there's what I think is interesting about what I read all the time about Donald is his points of view prior to, you know, where we are in this country. He was a way more Democratic-leaning individual. So
originally, yes.
I just feel like there's so much hypocrisy and... I mean, it seems like a lot of things are just totally self-motivated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's challenging. It's a shame.
Well, there's a great quote that I found where Frank was talking about Trump in 1989 in an interview with High Times, where he basically blamed it. The interviewer asked him what Frank thought of kids in high school, I think it was at the time, were polled somewhere, and they said that their you know, the most influential male figure at the time was Donald Trump. And Frank blamed that on the failure of the American educational system, as he would. So, which I thought was really funny.
You have to send that to me. We need to repost that.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Someone who's listening to this right now, I mean, I could ask my friend the internet. I'm sure my friend the internet can provide that information to me. But if you have it readily available, please
sure
put it in an email and send it to me.
I sure do. I'll do it as soon as we're done here.
Thank you.
Okay, John Krautner from Oak Park, Michigan asks, well, he comments first, then he asks, thank you for reissuing the vinyl, first of all.
It's one of my favorite things to do, and we will keep doing a lot more of it.
I'm very glad to hear it, personally. I have a huge amount of Zappa Records reissues of the vinyl behind me, even as we speak, but they're always available. You are doing an amazing job, and we all owe you a debt of gratitude. Sure, I can get that sentence out. Is there a reason why Zootalures came out on Zappa Records and not Barking Pumpkin? I think typically what you saw was on the record itself, you would see one label would be Barking Pumpkin and the other would be Zappa Records, and this time it's just two Zappa Records labels.
Oh, then I know exactly what the answer is. See, so much happens. I'm like, which way? When did this even come out yet? Or is this the... I just think having Zappa on there is cooler than having both of them on.
Yeah, the answer,
to be totally honest. And moving forward, I'm like, well, you know, Zappa Records, I Gail probably put a lot of that stuff on there because it, you know, it's historic, and I'm trying to streamline things, and I love the Zappa Record puffy font logo.
Sure.
I like it in gold.
Yeah. I know there's the Lumpy Gravy Primordial for Record Store Day is about to come out, too, and that got pushed back a little bit, and I'm really excited about getting that. That's going to be a new release here, folks, soon, so you'll want to pick that up. Well, also, Gail was the Barking Pumpkin, right? She was the inspiration for the name, at least, so maybe it's something to do with that. You never know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it literally is... again, as I'm collecting my wits, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember having the conversation. Like, I mean, why do we put that on there? I was like, you know, talking with Melody and Mike. I'm like, Zappa Records to me is so much just it's cooler, and I feel like I just feel in this moment we're very much Zappa Records and not. You know, Barking Pumpkin Records.
Well, that is the label now. I mean, it is Zappa Records.
Come on now. Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like, you know, there's just something in the vibe of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to, you know, I get the, I like the logo. I'm actually looking at, I'll send you a picture of, I think it's the original logo for Barking Pumpkins.
It's actually really?
On my desk. It's framed. I'll snap a pic and send it to you.
Yeah, cool.
It, you know, it used to be hanging in the office, so right after, you know, I guess they got the name and the trademarks and all that kind of stuff and figured out the logo, they printed it up, you know, and it was like, here we are, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And that picture was, you know, always hanging on the wall.
Oh, but, that's awesome. Yeah, I'd love to see it. Newt Skogstad from Trondheim in Norway asked the question, and this is actually a very good question, will the Lather album be reissued as a 4-LP set as per Frank's original intention? It's a good question.
You know what, Newt? I will try to make that be the case.
Hey!
How about that as an answer? Just for you, Newt, and then everyone else will get the benefit.
That is a set that goes for... gigantic dollars. Even the bootleg that came out in the 80s, the 4-LP bootleg set, goes for gigantic dollars these days. So, you know, that's...
Well, no one should have to pay that much money for that scenario. Let's see if we can put together... You know, I have you know, moments like that, you know, when the way that it was originally intended and, you know, those are the kinds of fun projects. Or, you know, we had a blast working on the Roxy performances.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still, you know, really kind of fucked up over having lived with the Roxy and Elsewhere record for so long, and then you hear these alternate versions from that night.
Sure.
It messes with me. I enjoy it all, but then I'm like, you know, it's unbelievable, that band. Well, I mean, what? Yeah. It just doesn't make sense how they were able to do what they did.
In a short period of time, yeah. In a short period of time, too, if you think about it, because there wasn't much time for Frank to rehearse that band, although it was an extension, I guess, of the previous band. Joe and I were talking about this when he was in Connecticut a few weeks ago. And the box set is just, it's jaw-droppingly amazing. It really
is. I fucking love the CD sleeves that we, you know, repurposed the actual tapes. I think it just came out really cool. I hope people dig it.
Oh, yeah. That one was definitely a hit. You don't have to worry about that.
This is the bebop version of Rollo. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Take two. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
That was good.
Let's see. We're going to blow off these next set of questions because
you don't like those people. Scott, that's terrible. You shouldn't judge people like that. Honestly, that's not how I want these interviews or conversations to go. Take your own personal beliefs.
And leave them at the door.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be such an asshole, man.
Yeah, I know. You know how hard it is for me not to be an asshole. So no, I'm kidding.
No, I actually, you know, please keep going. Dig a deeper hole for yourself. Keep going. Let's hear it. Go into greater detail. Please.
It's waking you up. See?
By the way, I love this. Let's make you feel uncomfortable for a second. Please keep going.
I consider
Why
it an
is it
honor
so hard
and a pleasure.
For you to not be an asshole.
Exactly. Yeah. Mark Beeb or BB. I'm sorry, Mark. I can't always pronounce the names correctly. I think it's Beeb. Asks, what is your favorite memory of your dad? Now, that's a huge question.
Oh, I have. It's more like it's my favorite memories are the times when I needed a champion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was always supportive. Let me try to explain that. So the first thing that came to mind immediately was this time that someone pulled a chair out from underneath me as a kid. So I fell down.
Jeez.
And they thought my friend thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
And my dad saw the whole thing and saw that I was, hurt in the process.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like he looked into my friend's eyes.
Oh God.
It was like right out of the movie Scanners, you know? Like my dad was taking ephemeral and basically blew this guy's head clean off his shoulders with just a look. Okay. It was the fucking one of the greatest moments. And so now I could appreciate that scenario, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows I'm upset, but here's the fucking funniest punchline to that situation.
Yeah.
Is he looked at this kid, right? and it was like, oh, you know, you just feel it. And my friend instantly felt, you know, like I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But then when I punched that person in the face, then my dad was like, and he got up and he like gave me the look like, shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know, like basically two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
Kind of a situation. And, and he took his bowl of chili and left the table. You know, that's actually a good memory where I felt like, I don't know, does that sound weird? That's the first thing that came to mind. There's my honest answer.
Hey, you're not going to hear these stories anywhere else. So that's a great story. So Hakan Tuna in Turkey, and I know that's the correct pronunciation, has four questions. The first one was, will there be a Lost Episodes Volume 2? But I think we answered that with Joe. I believe that album was cut up for other projects. So it doesn't exist in the form that that it originally did. What about The Rage and the Fury, Frank's last album? Now, I know that was a very personal project for your mother. She never got around to releasing it. That's the album of Varese compositions that Frank did.
Yeah. So I was actually just talking about that recently. It's definitely top of mind, and you know, we have a lot of content around you know, that performance. I know why it was hard for my mother. You know, it was just such a personal, you know, project.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it will come out. God, it's like that's when he was so sick, and
mm-hmm.
It's just how do we do it with the right? This I hope this doesn't come across wrong, but like the right sort of gravitas and the right respect and the packaging, the format. You know, it's like a totally different emotional journey to do that. I have to get into it. I really want it to come out. I want people to be able to hear it because it's unbelievable. Unbelievable performances and meant so much to Frank. So it definitely needs to come out. You know, if I'm not sounding so clear, because we have lots of video footage, do we do it as a companion piece with, you know, the visuals along with the audio? You know, it's just a bigger project that has to be figured out. But it's on my to-do list.
Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, obviously you're right about the gravitas because that is such a huge project. And we have seen bits and pieces of the video. They've been used in
sure
various documentaries and stuff like that.
That's this. It's like a something other project. I mean, you know, my ideal would be to have Dweezil weigh in, Moon weigh in, mm-hmm. Diva to weigh in, because we were all so like hyper focused on his health, and we knew that this was, you know, the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his passion project, and man, it's just a very emotional scenario. But yeah, it'll come out soon. I'm sorry if I'm going. I immediately went back to that
okay.
time and place, and I'm trying not to crawl into a fetal position and cry my eyes out right now.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from on in terms of the gravitas and the need for everybody to be on the same page and the timing to be right and everything else. It will happen.
I mean, I just think that it's so personal that but everyone should kind of see it because we were all there. You know, we it was kind of like mandated. Like we you know, we all had to be there. We all did interviews and you know, at that time. And I don't know. This is something special. So it would be great. You know, if everyone wanted to participate.
Something I could lay on. Can't remember what became of me. Carolina, hardcore ecstasy. She put a Doobie Brothers tape on. There was a bed I dumped a shape on. And remember what became of me. Carolina, hardcore ecstasy.
Someone laid her on. I opened when she was gone. There was dew out on the lawn
in the sunrise.
Later she came back with a what she told me would contain
a surprise. She stuck her hand right in into the bottom. Said she knew I'd be surprised she got 'em. Take a Charleston pimp to spot 'em. Then she gave a pair of shoes to me.
Is it possible, this is also from Hakan, to release 200 Motels, the original album, as Ryko did? And I know you don't own the rights to the album, because whoever does now...
I'm working on that, too. I'm working on what can we do from the film and soundtrack perspective and all of that. Yeah, yes.
Oh, really? The film, too, huh?
Well, I know some of the cats over at MGM, and... Yeah. You know, it would be cool to kind of do like a new reissue or something and kind of strengthen our partnership with them. And, you know, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Fans would dig it.
Yeah. Well, the people weren't real happy with the DVD that MGM released of it. So, you know, I read a lot, you know, you go on the internet, good old internet, and read a lot of bad reviews about anything. But particularly they didn't like the way that 200 Motels was done. So, yeah, anything you could do with it would improve it.
Well, we'll see. That's another, like, I feel like all my answers are, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, no concrete answers. Totally, I'm into it. We'll see. Yeah. What else does someone want to have happen? Cool. Sounds like a great idea. We'll see.
Ooh, I got a good one for you. You might like this one. Max Brand from Denver, Colorado, says, now he's going to preface this by saying, personally, I'm not interested in hearing anything about the ZFT versus Dweezil and current business problems. Ahmed is a real person and consists of much more than the events of the past few years. Bravo. So we'll give him a 4-star standing ovation there. Max wants to know, I'd really like to hear about any memories you have on the Peavy tribute and the Happy Hour TV show, because I've been watching that lately on YouTube myself, Happy Hour. I think those episodes are all out there.
Wow, that's embarrassing. Well, shit. I mean, so many memories. I mean, probably what people don't know is that a lot of the dancers that were our bombshell dancers became the Pussycat Dolls.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Robin Anton.
Yeah.
Was the brainchild behind all of that, and she was our choreographer, and you know, all those girls were. I mean, they worked so hard. I mean, we did that show on a shoestring budget. I'll give you a little Me Too moment. We were doing a photo shoot, and I'm sitting there with the executive of, you know, the guy who greenlit the show, and I shan't say his name, but Dweezil and I are sitting next to each other, and this guy had a burrito in his hand from Benito's Burritos, and it was 10 billion degrees outside, and he's wearing, you know, like a whole winter outfit, and he's holding the burrito in, like, he's cupping his hand, and like a mama bird, you know, bending his beak down to eat. Like, I've never seen someone eat a burrito like that. That was kind of mesmerizing, and he had food all over his face. But because we're sitting with all these girls, you know, for a press photo with all the dancers, he, you know, while we're taking the pictures, starts putting his hands down my pants, the back of my pants.
Oh, my God.
And it's like trying to put his fingers in my ass.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right? Jesus so,
like,
Christ.
In that moment, there's probably photographs of the, like, wow, that's super inappropriate. And, you know, he's like, he made a comment like, you want the show to get picked up, don't you? And I'm
God.
But I'm not going to suck your dick to fucking do it.
Jesus Christ.
You know?
Oh, my God.
That was a super shitty, you know, experience. And, you know, Dweezil and I were both like, wow. Wow, that guy's a piece of shit.
Do you know if he's still in the business? I don't mean to.
I don't know. Yeah. Unfortunately, I have many stories
similar
that are like, what the fuck,
yeah.
You know, like that. But no, I mean, I remember loving that show. It was stressful because you never felt like you had enough time to rehearse the songs right, you know, because they were always camera blocking, which would get in the way of actually doing whole performances. And,
sure.
You know, it was crazy and fun, and that was cool. And what was the other, the nine-part question?
You know, yeah, he wanted to know if you remember your memories of the PV tribute.
Oh, yeah. No, that was super cool. I mean, we worked, you know, we had the medley down, mm-hmm. and we decided to expand upon the, you know, the PV medley, certainly changing some of the lyrics to reflect PV.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Dick Clark fucking hating every single fucking moment of us, you know, being up there. And no, my memories were really, you know, that was fun.
Yeah, right.
a lot of work to do that. That's for sure.
To make that work, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
She went to see the doctor, and then she read a magazine. Forget the book, I told her, then don't want to hear about the book again. Dear heart,
work out, Benny.
Tell me, what's the reason? Dear heart,
I thought you were in love, Benny.
Tell me, what's the reason? There was a picture on the story that showed a young sophisticated. Shave her under arm, Jenny, and go for that, cause he's a young sophisticator. Baby, why you crying? It made me wonder what you said. Forget that book, I told her then, I wanna hear about the book again. Dear heart, tell me, what's the reason? Dear heart,
how you doing, Benny?
Tell me, what's the reason?
Would you still love me if my hair grew all down the side of my kimono?
Well, of course I would. It might be if it is not going to be a trip. Dear heart, or radiate a bad aroma. Dear heart, radiate a cheap aroma. What's this aroma?
Okay, Stan Ivester of Tennessee. My two questions for Amit. Any chance for a 78 box like the excellent Halloween 77? I think it means Halloween 78. And I think the answer is yes. There's a chance for it.
Yeah, totally.
There's definitely
a
chance.
Yes, that's my
for
plan.
It.
Is that a new mask, new box set, new fun, you know, Halloween fun.
Yeah, and Halloween surprises await you folks. And and he also says, wouldn't a box set with the Italian shows from the 82 tour in a pizza-style box look great?
You know, does this guy want to come work for Zappa Records? I mean, like, we feel like we're two kindred spirits, you know?
I thought the same thing. I thought that was a very cool idea, actually. In a pizza box, what more could you ask for? Well, that'll do it. But I know you got to get to your next meeting. Yeah. But
thank you so much for taking the time, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Absolutely.
And to everyone listening, thank you for loving Frank and being supportive, and I like hearing from everybody. So you know, I am listening, and you know, I'm curious about the kinds of projects that you guys want. So keep the questions coming, and let's all have some fun together and celebrate the man that we all, you know, care about. So
yes, indeed.
Again, thank you so much, bud.
Yes, absolutely, good sir, and enjoy the rest of your day. We will out here in the blizzard.
Yeah, oh yeah, stay safe, stay dry, stay warm.
Oh yeah, impossible, sure. All right, Amit. Thank you so much.
Last thing,
sure.
Go fuck yourself. Okay, go fuck yourself. Bye, guys. See you, everyone.
See you, Amit.
And that's our show, but before we go, here's the list of the musical selections you heard in this episode of the Zappacast. We heard Zombie Wolf from the Overnight Sensation album, 1973. Envelopes from the 1982 album, Ship Arriving Too Late to Save a Drowning Witch. Enigmas 1 through 5 from the Finer Moments album. The Bebop version of Rollo from the brand new Roxy Performances box set. Get it now if you don't have it, folks. Carolina Hardcore Ecstasy from the Bongo Fury album. For the Young Sophisticate from Tinseltown Rebellion, 1981. And we're going to finish off the show with The Adventures of Gregory Peccary, one of my favorite Frank pieces of music, from the Studio Tan album, 1978. Thank you so much for listening, folks. And we will be back very shortly with more fun, more surprises, and more Frank Zappa right here on the Zappacast.
The Adventures of Gregory Peccary.
Oh, here comes Gregory, little Gregory Peccary, the nocturnal gregarious wild swine.
A peccary is a little pig with a white collar that usually hangs around between Texas and Paraguay, sometimes ranging as far west as Catalina.
Catalina.
This particular peccary is part of that bold
new
breeding that extinguishes itself by markings which resemble a white tie directly below the white collar.
If it's wide enough, everyone will know that the tie I'm wearing is a symbol of how nimble my mind will grow.
Swing, suave. Drives his little red Volkswagen to the ugly part of town where they keep the government buildings.
Wooden. hard to find a place to park around here. Ring, 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 ring.
Gregory Peckery takes the elevator up to the 83rd floor of a grim, gray, evil-looking building with a sign on the front reading... Swifty and Associates, Trendmongers. And what, might you ask, is a trendmonger? Well, a trendmonger is a person who dreams up a trend, like the twist. Or flower power. And spreads it throughout the land using all the frightening little skills that science has made available. One fateful morning, Gregory Peckery made his way through the Steno Pool.
Hi, Mildred. Hello, Gladys. Wanda.
Yes, from the moment they laid eyes on him, all the girls in the big Swifty Steno Pool knew here was a nocturnal gregarious wild swine on his way up. A Peckery of destiny, adventure, and romance.
Is there any mail for me?
Nonchalantly into his dinky little office with the desk and the catalog and the very hip water pipe, and proceeded with a vigor and determination known only to piglets of a similarly diminutive proportion to single-handedly invent the calendar.
With his eyes rolled heavenward and his little shiny pig hoofs on the desk, Gregory ponders the question of eternity and fractional divisions thereof as mysterious angelic voices sing to him from a great distance, providing the necessary clues for the construction of his thrilling new trend.
Sunday. Wow.
Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday through Monday. Sunday, Saturday,
and thus the calendar in all of its colorful disguises was presented to the bored and miserable people everywhere. Gregory issued a memo on it, whereupon the entire contents of the Steno Pool identified with it strenuously and worshipped it as a way of life and took their little pills by it and went back and forth from work by it and paid their rent by it, and before long they were even having birthday parties in the office by it. Because now at last, Gregory Peccary's exciting new invention had made it possible for everyone to find out how old they were.
What hath God wrought?
Unfortunately, there were some people who simply did not wish to know. And that's why, on his way home from the office one night, Gregory was attacked by a rage of henchmen. Making his way through the evening traffic, Gregory notices that the other vehicles, which crowd and bump his little red car, are all inhabited by slowly aging, very hip young people. They appear to be casting sinister glances toward him through their glinting acid burnout eyeballs, trying to run him off the road or make him bump into something, giving strong evidence of hostile aggression. Gregory takes the short forest exit off the expressway. They zoom after him in all manner of cars, trucks, garishly painted buses, and motorcycles. Gregory takes a bumpy trail off the main short forest road, which leads him up the side of a famous and conveniently placed mountain, and into a strange cave on the edge of a cliff not far from a little twisted tree with eyes on it. Meanwhile, the enraged hunchmen and hunchwomen rumble through the short forest until, realizing the little swine has escaped, they decide to park their steaming vehicles in a circular pseudo-wagon train formation and have a love-in. Under the influence of a fantastic amount of trendy chemical amusement aid, they proceed to perform lewd acts, rip each other off for small personal possessions, and dance with depraved abandon in the vicinity of a 6-foot pile of transistor radios, each one tuned to a different station.
Thank you.
The hunchmen finally expire from exhaustion, and Gregory, who has viewed the proceedings from a safe distance, breathes a sigh of relief.
Phew.
Only to be terrified once again by a roar of immense laughter, which seems to be rumbling up from the very depths of the cave in which he has hidden his car.
Good Lord, what was that?
Gregory doesn't realize he has concealed himself inside the very mouth of Billy the Mountain. And as you all know, whenever Billy laughs, rocks and boulders hack up, and the air for miles around is filled with tons of dust, forming a series of huge brown clouds.
Who is making those new brown clouds? Who is making those clouds these days? Who is making those new brown clouds? Better ask the philosopher and see what he says.
Gregory stops at a gas station and makes a mysterious phone call.
Is this the old loft with the paint peeling off it by the Chinese police where the dogs roll by? Is this where they keep the philosophers now with the rugs in the dust where the books go to die? How many you's got? So you's got quite a few just sitting around there with nothing to do? Well, I just called you up because I wanted to see a philosopher be of assistance to me.
Gregory receives information that the greatest living philosopher known to mankind is currently in possession of the very information in question. And furthermore, this information could be his if only Gregory would attend a special therapeutic group assembly. Classes now forming and available at a special low, low introductory fee. And now here he is, the greatest living philosopher known to mankind, Quentin Robert D. Nameland. Take it away.
Folks, as you can see for yourself, the way this clock over here is behaving, time is of affliction. Now, this might be cause for alarm among a portion of you, as from a certain experience I tend to proclaim, the eons are closing.
To Quentin Robert D. Nameland, greatest living philosopher known to mankind.
Thank you.
And that's our show. The Zappacast was produced and edited by Scott Parker. Production assistance by Joe Travers and Melanie Starks. This podcast and all of the musical selections contained therein are copyrighted worldwide by the Zappa Family Trust. All rights reserved. Big thanks to Ahmed Zappa and all at Zappa.com. For more information on Scott Parker's books about the work of Frank Zappa, go to www.spbpublishing.webs.com. On behalf of the ZappaCast team, this is Scott Parker saying thank you for listening. And until next time,
good night, boys and girls.
It's been lovely working for you this evening. Good night.